Dr. Jerry, you got the whole world waiting. Been ready for you to start the conversation. Your point of view, it got the haters confused. Leave it up to you to bring us all the good news. Positive vibes and the sex appeal too. Dr. Andre Jerry, can I get an interview? Hello, everyone, and welcome to Live with Dr. Andre. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in to our show tonight. I appreciate your listenership and your support of the Artist First Radio Network. I want to give a shout-out to my PAC buddies from work. These are a group of guys that I came into the government with. We started out as interns, Stephanie, Jason, Michelle, Steven. Steven, I know you're not listening. But anyway, shout-out to my PAC buddies. So listen, for tonight's episode, I think I'm just going to keep it lighthearted and just talk about trending topics and what's been happening the past few weeks. So right now, as we speak, Tropical Storm Helene is headed towards the Florida Panhandle. And, you know, it's expected to upgrade to hurricane status by the time it hits landfall, about a Category 3 hurricane. Of course, I'm broadcasting live from my home in Warner Robins. So, of course, all of the local news outlets here are dialed into the storm and assessing the potential damage it could bring to the region. Of course, at the time of this broadcast, it's a little too soon to know what the true impact will be. But we're praying for a minimal impact. And for everyone that is in the path of the storm, we pray that you're protected. And, you know, for me, this storm really is coming at the worst time. I have Airbnb guests who are coming in on Friday. I'm traveling myself this weekend, or at least I'm supposed to be. I'm in the process of relocating to another state. So hopefully my travel plans won't need to change, but we'll just have to see. But, you know, really, none of that is important. At the end of the day, I just want for everyone to stay safe and for this storm to pass with no casualties. That's my prayer. So, yeah, so anyway, I am relocating to another state. Yes, I'm changing jobs once again. And, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and fully embrace my status as a job hopper. I'm a job hopper. I wasn't always this way. I wasn't. I used to be a good little employee. I promise you. I used to, you know, I was loyal, you know, to a fault. I put in the long hours at work. I would go above and beyond. I still do to a certain extent. I would put up with a lot of BS, you know, and just toxic workplaces, toxic environment, toxic bosses, you know, just take one for the team. But then one day out of the blue, and this is when I had left, I graduated from the internship with the government, and I left and I went and took a contracting job, still working in the federal sector, but as a contractor. And just out of the blue, after working for like maybe 8-9 months, I was laid off. No warning, no advance notice, nothing, just laid off, along with 12 other people who, you know, were also relatively new to the company. But it was just completely out of the blue. And I don't know if you've ever been laid off before, but it's very devastating. It's a lot of things. It's more than devastating. It's humiliating. You know, your pride is very disorienting as well. And we're not even talking about the financial ramifications of being laid off, which can be crippling. But it's completely devastating. I'm not going to get into the entire story. Perhaps maybe in a later episode, I'll talk about that whole ordeal when I was laid off and, you know, what that whole thing was like. But, yeah, that is why now I don't give a damn about these jobs. I try not to get caught up in, you know, personalities and office politics. I'm just there to, number one, get my money. okay, get my money, bring value to the organization or the team where I can, you know, using my skill set and my expertise. I'm going to learn and absorb as much as possible so I can make myself more marketable and knowledgeable for the next job, you know, expand my network. I'm not really at a job to make friends. You know, I'll make connections, you know, and oftentimes that can lead to, you know, your next opportunity. But it just, you know, I've been around the block with these jobs, working in the private sector, the public sector, owning my business for 15, near 20 years, working for nonprofits. You know, I've done it all. And there's just some things that I put in place when I go to a job. There's some things I've just learned over the years. I don't really mix and mingle with my coworkers too much. You have to walk a tightrope. You don't want to be antisocial, you know, but you don't want to hang out with that same crowd that's always going to lunch at the same time, or the one that takes all these different breaks and stuff like that. You really kind of have to assess the landscape, determine who has the high work ethic, who in your organization is getting the awards all the time and getting recognition. Those are the people you want to make connections with, not the everyday run-of-the-mill person that's just doing the bare minimum, you know. You want to stand out to a certain extent, you know, like I said, make connections, not friends. this may be a no-brainer for a lot of people, but don't sleep with your coworkers. You know, I know some of you are laughing. I don't care. I've been there. I have made this dreadful mistake. You want to talk about hell? Just don't do it. I don't care how fine he or she may be. Do not sleep with your coworkers. It's never going to end well, and it's just stupid. Don't do it. I can give you a whole, that's another episode. I can tell you about my instance where I crossed the line with that. Just a bad idea, okay? Don't do it. You never want to outshine your boss. And now that I'm thinking about it, for the past, I won't say the past, no, I won't even say a number. Pretty much every job I have an issue with my boss. And I don't go in with the idea that I'm going to have an issue. I'm there to work hard. I'm there to do what I need to do. I'm actually there to make my boss look good if I can. But it seems like every time, it may start off well, but I end up having some type of issue with my boss or supervisor. So I had to do some thinking. I'm like, you know, after a while, the problem, you know, what's the common denominator? The problem seems to be me. What am I doing wrong? What am I doing to where I'm having issues with my supervisor at every job? And we're talking about male supervisors. I had an issue with the woman supervisor too. Me and her fell out. So it's me. I'm just admitting live on the air that I'm the problem. But I've learned that you can't outshine your boss. And I don't try to do that. I don't. But a lot of times when you can do things unintentionally is what I'm saying. You know, I've learned from a good friend of mine that I'm working with now that less is best. You don't always want to. You need to downplay what you know. That sounds kind of like the antithesis of what I'm normally used to. You know, usually when you go into a job, especially as the new guy, you want to, you know, show your aptitude and show what you can do. I have to admit that there's something to be said for that piece of advice. Downplay what you know. You know, ask questions. Don't be so quick to show everybody your complete skill set, because it could end up having the opposite effect. That's what I've learned, you know. So when I go into this new role next month, I will make some tweaks to how I operate in the workplace. Okay. I want to tell you something else too, another trap that I fell in. We've all heard this saying at work. If you see something, say something. We've all heard that, right? That's bullshit. That's bullshit. I'm sorry. If you see something, I don't care if it's sexual harassment. This is just me talking. You don't have to take my word for it. This is just my opinion. I don't care what I see in the workplace. I'm not saying a damn thing anymore. I don't see nothing. I don't hear nothing. I'm turning my head the other way. I'm not going to watch somebody just really get, you know, fucked up. Excuse my language. But for the most part, I'm not reporting anything. I'm going to turn my head and look the other way, because that see something, say something, that is a trap. I've learned that that's a trap. And what I think it is it's intended to shine a light on who your narcs are in companies. Because trust me, as you go up the chain in management and in leadership, you see just how effed up some of these people are and how messed up some of the things that they are doing is. There's a lot of corruption that goes on as you ascend the ranks. I've seen it for myself. And those people in leadership that are doing these things, they don't want narcs in their midst. They're not going to let anybody come up the ranks that has a history of basically being a whistleblower and reporting shit. If you see something at work, if you can, in good conscience, turn a blind eye, you don't have to police everything. Just turn aside. Don't see anything. Don't hear anything. I've just learned that that's the best route to go. And if you want to get out the door, the quickest way to get out the door is to start reporting stuff. Just turn a blind eye. You don't have to take my word for it. This is just my opinion. Okay? And lastly, always be plotting your next move. So when I go into a new job, I always operate with this idea that, you know, I could be let go in the next 4 to 6 months. So I'm always polishing off my resume. I'm always on go with the resume. I'm always, you know, spending a good portion of my day, maybe 2 hours, maybe an hour, searching for the next opportunity. Some people may have an issue with that. Some people may say, why would you say that? I'm just telling you what you need to do. These jobs do not care about you. So you always have to be plotting your next move, keeping your resume polished off. That's just a practice of mine. So you never know when the next opportunity is going to come from. There's nothing worse than an opportunity presenting itself and you don't have your resume together. Or you have to, you know, tell the person, hey, give me until tomorrow. I need to brush up my resume or whatever. That's just being unprepared. Always be prepared for the next opportunity. And always operate from the standpoint that I could be let go at any day. It's happened to me. It changed the way I move. And I don't care about these jobs anymore like that. They don't care about me. So, you know, I'll do what I can. I will bring value where I can. But I'm always operating like, hey, this is not going to, I'm just passing through, you know. So there are a few exceptions to what I'm saying. You know, maybe if you work for a smaller employer, you know, it's a different culture. But these huge organizations, huge companies, they don't really care about you like that. They don't care about your bills. They don't care about your family. They don't care about your aches and pains, you know. And so if, God forbid, for some reason they have to let you go, they're not going to give you no advance notice. So if you're not feeling well and you want to call out, but you're kind of shy about calling, forget that. Call out sick. If you want to support your child's game or a school play or just something else that you have to do, you just feel like not going in that day, take your sick leave, take your PTO, and don't feel bad about it. And don't ask permission. When I need to take PTO, I just tell my supervisor or whomever, I'll be taking PTO on Thursday and we'll return to the office Friday morning. And that's typically in an email. And you can give them one, but you really don't owe them an explanation. You know, no one should be asking you why you're taking PTO. You know, it's for personal reasons. That's all they need to know. So I know I sound a little jaded. Maybe I am. I don't care. But when you've been laid off, it really changes your outlook with regard to how you operate on these jobs, you know, because at the end of the day, you're just output for them. You're just a number. Just my opinion. Anyway, so let's shift gears a bit. Are you guys sick of politics yet? You probably are. I know it's a lot. I know you're probably already over it. But, you know, either way it goes, this is going to be over very soon. We only have, what is it? We have 41 days until Election Day. So we're kind of in the home stretch here. So I want to say, if you haven't registered and you want to cast your vote in this election, and this could be a crucial vote, you know, it's very crucial to the outcome of this election. Everything's going to be so close. There's still time to register. So if you need to register to vote, just go to vote.com or vote.gov, rather, vote.gov. And when you log on, you'll see a red button on the homepage that says select your state or territory to begin. If you click on that and follow the prompts, and by the way, you can also, if you just want to check the status of your voter registration, you can still follow these steps and you'll see the same thing. Just go to vote.gov, follow the same steps. You'll see a link on the second page that says check my voter registration. And it'll give you the prompts from there. And by the way, look, don't let anyone disenfranchise your vote. There's a lot of intimidation going on already with this election. I really want to encourage you to vote early if you can. Check your state's Secretary of State's website and find out when early voting begins. If you can vote early, that really is the best route to go. This is not the election to be voting on Election Day. I think there's going to be so much chaos and shenanigans going on. You know, a lot of voter intimidation, a lot of confusion. A couple of things to note when you're voting. You don't have to tell anyone when you're actually going to vote. You don't have to tell anyone who you're voting for. Remember that your vote is private. What goes on in that voter booth is between you and the voting machine, you know. So there shouldn't be anyone asking or inquiring about who you're voting for today. That's a personal piece of information. Okay, that's private. And also, once you cast your ballot, you should be shown a confirmation page that shows where your ballot was cast. Once it's cast, there should be no more tampering with that. They'll show you your voter confirmation page, and it'll go in some type of box. But there shouldn't be any marks or anything on your ballot after you've cast your vote, okay? So watch that. Watch that type of stuff. I've already mentioned to vote early. Like I said, this is not the election to be voting on the day of the election. And if you get to your voter precinct and you have any issues, you are well within your right to ask for the precinct manager. Okay, I used to be a poll worker. These people work extremely hard. It's not on a volunteer basis. They don't make a lot of money for that day. Maybe like at the time I did, it was like $150. They probably make $200 or $250 now for that day. But they work extremely hard and long hours. And so, you know, most of them are operating within their due diligence and, you know, within the bounds of the law. But if you have an issue with anyone, whether it's another voter or elector or one of the poll workers, always ask for the precinct manager. And if for some reason they try to turn you away and say this isn't your precinct, or give you any type of pushback about voting, you always are within your right to ask for a provisional ballot. Okay? Ask for a provisional ballot, and what that is basically just a paper ballot, essentially, that has all the information that the electronic ballot has, and you just cast your vote there, and it goes in a folder or a box with all the other provisional ballots. Those have to be counted as well. Some of them will end up not being allocated to that particular precinct, but they are still counted at the end of the day, and they still have to go through the process of being confirmed as a legit ballot or not. So if there's any issue or question, always ask for a provisional ballot, and they have to give you one. So just keep those types of things in mind because, you know, in my opinion, I think Trump already knows he's likely going to lose this election. The numbers just don't seem to be there for him to win by the popular vote. So I think his angle this time will be to try to win through the Electoral College, the same way he did when he beat Hillary, and also use voter suppression tactics, which is going on currently. And remember, guys, he's already appointed election officials in various states. They're already in place, you know, and their sole purpose really is just to disrupt voting processes in key states where the margins will be really tight. So, like I said, there'll very likely be a lot of shenanigans on Election Day, lots of confusion, especially while votes are being counted. I anticipate challenges left and right, recounts left and right across the board. I think we'll probably be in a situation where we won't know the outcome of the election when we go to bed that night. I think it could be probably days or even weeks if Trump pulls his usual stunts with the, you know, election denialism and the lawsuits and all that type of stuff. And not to mention the state of turmoil and tension that the country could be experiencing during that time. Just think about that. You know, we already know that a lot of these Trump people are just crazy. And they don't have any issue with rioting or vandalizing or killing. There's really no limit with them, you know, and I'm concerned myself about the level of lawlessness that could be going on and after Election Day. So, you know, just be ready and make sure that you're prepared for whatever. You know, I'm not trying to be an alarmist here. You know, I'm just saying, please vote early if you can, because I wouldn't be caught dead out in the streets on Election Day. Okay? Don't say I didn't warn you. But anyway, on that note, guys, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I promise you we'll shift gears to something a little bit more lighthearted. I'll tell you guys about the wedding that I was in last week. So you definitely won't want to miss it. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Oh, I'm going back to Saudi, Saudi, Saudi. I'm going back to Saudi.
Baby, don't be naughty.
I'm going back to Saudi, Saudi, Saudi. I'm going back to Saudi.
Baby, don't be naughty.
I'm going back to Saudi. Wasted, can't take it. Taking me a break from all the Tito's I've been drinking. Spending all my dimes on that black box wine, cause I'm trying to keep these hating ass niggas off my mind. I'm flying first class, don't need a buddy pass, just a diplomatic passport to get me through the airport. I'm chilling at the lounge, they never keep me waiting. keep pouring them drinks till I reach my destination. I'm going back to Saudi, Saudi, Saudi. I'm going back to Saudi.
Baby, tell me naughty.
I'm going back to Saudi, Saudi, Saudi. I'm going back to Saudi.
Baby, tell me naughty.
I'm going back to Saudi. It's like my second home. The Arabs are exotic, I can't leave them alone. They like the taste of chocolate, sexy, erotic. And if you like the finer things, then money ain't no object. I'm going back to Saudi, Saudi, Saudi. I'm going back to Saudi.
Baby, tell me naughty.
I'm going back to Saudi, just in the nick of time. I'll party with the Saudis at the end of Ramadan. And when they own that shisha, it's nice to meet ya. So let's go do our thing while we sip Saudi champagne. I'm going back to Saudi, Saudi, Saudi. I'm going back to Saudi.
Baby, tell me naughty.
I meet a sheik, I may never come home. Just give me a week, I just might show my camel toe. I'm going back to Saudi, Saudi, Saudi. I'm going back to Saudi.
Baby, tell me naughty.
I'm going back to Saudi, Saudi, Saudi. I'm going back to Saudi.
Baby, tell me naughty.
You're back live with Dr. Andre Geary.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Live with Dr. Andre. I'm so glad you stayed with us through the commercial break. Shout out to Edwin and all my friends in Puerto Rico who are tuning in tonight. Te veré pronto, okay? Hey, so if you're just joining us, before the break, we were talking about me relocating to another state and embracing my status as a proud job hopper. And we were talking about how at the end of the day, these jobs don't care about you. They really don't. If you let them, I'm not going to go on another tangent here, but if you let them, they will use up your talent and your skills and your time and your passion and could potentially just let you go at the drop of a hat with no warning or notice. And like I said before, yes, I'm jaded by my own experiences. I am. But I'm grateful that it happened at the end of the day. Because you know what? If I had not had the experience of being laid off and all the cascading effects that came with that, I know I would be arrogant. I would be high-minded, definitely less humble, not as kind. And I don't think I would be as willing to lend a helping hand to others. I think I would be one of those people where, yeah, I would help, but I would also have this kind of air of, oh, well, you just need to pull yourself up by the bootstraps like I did and, you know, get out and find. I think I would have been that type of person, you know. But when you've experienced losing your livelihood and falling on hard times and not knowing how you're going to pay your bills, having to rebuild from scratch, basically, you want to talk about resilience and faith, you know? So, you know, sometimes God just has to kind of drag you. He has to just kind of drag you through the mud like he did with me before he can really exalt you and place you where he wants to place you. Because back then I wasn't ready. If God would have kept exalting me and I would have kept going up the ladder like I was doing without having that crash and fall, I just would have been terrible. I know me. I just would have been too much. So he had to bring me down just so I can have the compassion and the humility that can, you know, sustain the type of success that I'm enjoying today. Because, you know, it just wasn't sustainable with that attitude that I was starting to develop back then. So I'm grateful that I was laid off. I needed that experience. I really did. But anyway, look, we were supposed to talk about something more lighthearted. I promised you that. Okay, so last week I was in a wedding. I didn't attend a wedding. I was in a wedding. And it was a great experience. So last year, my friend Renata, shout out to Renata. Y'all know my friend Renata, right? Okay, so Renata also is, she has a show on the Artist First Radio Network. It's called Relevant with Renata. Great show. It's on, forgive me if I get this wrong, Renata, but I think it's on every second Monday at 7, from 7 to 8. So check it out. It's a really great show. But Renata and I are really good friends. I've known her for years and years now. We met while we were, well, she was on one of her book tours that was coming through Robins Air Force Base. And, you know, I'm a book nerd. I love books. I love authors. And I remember being so enamored with her and so impressed by her that I bought like, I bought like 5 or 6 copies of her best-selling book, Transitioning from a Weekend to a War Zone. If you follow me on Instagram, you know this is true. There's a picture of me holding like 5 or 6 of her books. I bought books for my sister who's in the Navy. I bought books for people who couldn't read. I just bought books for just everybody. Because she was so impressive. And I mean, she's obviously very beautiful woman, but she has this spirit about her where you just enjoy talking with her. And I remember back then I hadn't released my book yet. I was just an aspiring author and I was telling her how, you know, I'm working on my own book. And, you know, I just remember her being very encouraging and very supportive. And, you know, she told me, look, you got to write this book. And I'm going to keep in contact with you. I'm going to stay, you know, on you until you finish this book. She was just very encouraging like that. And so she did just that. And, you know, every now and then she would come through Robins. I would run into her again. Every time I ran into this woman, she would ask me about the book. Andre, have you been working on your book? How's your book going? And it got to a point to where I was like, okay, next time she asks me about this book, I'm going to have it done, you know. So she really stayed on top of me, encouraged me. She's texting me now. I love you too, Renata. But she is a big reason why I released my book so soon, or so early, because I was going to do it, but had she not stayed on top of me and also my father, not father-in-law, what are you, Butch? My brother-in-law. I've been drinking, whatever. This is a casual show today. Don't judge me, okay? I've been drinking Tito's. But listen, Renata played a really big role in making sure my book got released when it did, because she would not let up. And so we just, you know, we clicked and we stayed in touch. And she's been a good friend over the years. And she asked me to not only be in her wedding, but she asked me about a year or so ago to MC her event. She throws this event every year called Relevant with Renata. And I mean, it's an extravaganza. She goes all out and, you know, the food, the DJ, the music, the, you know, the artists that she has perform. And so I was honored when she asked me to MC the event. And so it was shortly after that event where her boyfriend at the time surprised her with an engagement. And, you know, and that was so beautiful. And I was able to be a part of that. And her fiance asked me to be one of his groomsmen. This was last year. And of course, I, you know, accepted and was honored that they would even ask, you know, because at that point he had only known me for a few months. So I was completely honored. But, you know, we get to this year and, it, you know, it's finally here. I want to tell you about this wedding. I've been in a wedding before. I was the groomsman. Was I the groomsman or the best man? Butch, was I your best man? I think I was your best man. But I was, the first wedding I was in was my sister's wedding. I was either the groomsman or the best man. I can't remember. And that was a beautiful wedding. And so this was my second opportunity to be a groomsman. This wedding, my sister's wedding was nice. It was beautiful. Don't get me wrong. But this wedding last week, Renata, this was a Real Housewives of Atlanta wedding. Like, let's just talk about the venue. The venue was the Atlanta White House. I lived in Atlanta for you know, over a decade, so I'm familiar with the Atlanta White House and how beautiful of a venue that is, but I've never been that up close and personal with that venue. It is just breathtaking. The architecture, the landscaping, just the ambiance of it. It's just completely beautiful. So this was the venue for the wedding, and let me kind of tell you how everything went. So first of all, everything's just completely laid out, okay? Even before the wedding, digital invitations, everything's laid out to the T. You don't have any question about what I'm supposed to do, where I'm supposed to be. Everything is spelled completely out, okay? At the venue, I already talked about how beautiful it is. She had an on-site barber for the groomsmen. She had an on-site hairstylist for the bridesmaids. She had an on-site, I think, manicure and pedicurist for the ladies. There were lodging quarters on-site for everyone that was, you know, in the wedding party. So, you know, you don't have to worry about getting a hotel and all of this other stuff, or, you know, people showing up late or showing up missing on the day of the wedding. Everything was just meticulously thought out and planned out. It was an outside wedding. The weather was beautiful. It was a little hot, but I'll take hot over rain. It was just, you couldn't ask for a more beautiful day. I do feel bad about that poor wedding planner. And Renata, you know this is true. Your family wore that girl out. The women, they wore it. What's her name? Eunice? I think she did a remarkable job, but the women wore her out. So I don't know if Eunice is listening to the show, but just from me to you, you did an exceptional job, you know. But, it, you know, it's hard to please everyone. But everything was just beautiful. The reception after the wedding was beautiful. I want to tell you this. I cried. First of all, I was nervous, like I was the one getting married, okay? So that's the lead up to the whole thing. And then I almost cried when Renata came down the staircase. I don't know why. I mean, first of all, I've never seen her look so beautiful. Never have seen her look so beautiful. She's beautiful on a bad day. But when she came down those stairs, I was like, Andre, you are not going to do this, okay? But her dress, everything was just, I can't wait till she, you know, releases the pictures, but it's just, everything was just gorgeous. At the reception, I almost cried again when she came in with her then groom or husband, and she was just waving at everybody on both sides of the reception hall. And she just, that was my first glimpse up close and personal of how beautiful and happy she looked. And I cried. And I was like, hope nobody see. I tried to dab my eyes in private, you know, hoping nobody saw me. But it was just completely beautiful. The photographers did a wonderful job. There was a drone camera that was getting aerial shots of everything. It was just beautiful. When I get married, I do not want all of that. I really don't. Because it would just stress me out, just making sure that everything is, you know, happening, you know, in accordance to the wedding plans and all of that. I think I would be very stressed. So I just want something a little bit more simple. But in terms of elegance, in terms of pageantry, I mean, it was like a TV wedding. I know I'm going on and on about it. When you see the pictures in the video, you'll see I'm not exaggerating. So, Renata, I know you're listening. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of your wedding. It was so beautiful. It was so inspiring. There was no drama. You know, everybody was just happy. Everybody was exuberant. And I could tell that they were just caught up in the love story of it all. Daryl and Renata really have a beautiful love story, and they shared a little bit of that during the reception. But just a beautiful wedding, and I wish everybody could see it from the vantage point that I did. But that was it. That was it. You know, I think that I'm trying to picture myself with that type of wedding, and I think I'm going to stick to what I don't want that. I just want something simple on a beach, and just me and the person I'm marrying, maybe a witness or two. I don't want all of that. I just want something simple and elegant and peaceful. So I think that's what I'm going to go for. So I think I've said enough about the wedding. I'm just kind of spitballing, guys. I don't have a script this time. I told you this is going to be laid back, and I was just going to let it flow. So if I'm rambling, you just have to forgive me on this one. But what else is happening? This is so embarrassing that I don't that was pretty much all I wanted to talk about today. I mean, you can listen to me ramble for another, 15 minutes, but I'm not going to do that to you. I don't really have anything more of substance to talk about other than the beautiful wedding, the stuff that's going on with the election. We all know that this is a very important election. So make sure that you get registered if you're not. Make sure you vote early if you can help it at all. Remember that these jobs do not care about you, okay? I'm not saying don't do your best on your job. I'm not saying don't add value and bring value, but I'm just saying just remember that they don't love you like that. So brush off your resume. Start applying for jobs as if you found out you're going to be canned in a few months. Just operate with that mindset. And you know what? I want to share something else real quick on that talk. I know I keep going back to the job stuff. You can tell that really irks me. But I learned this from a colleague of mine at my last job. And he said what he does is, although he's gainfully employed, he applies for and accepts invitations to interview for other jobs. And he'll go so far as even to get a job offer in writing. And what he does with that job offer, he takes it to his current employer and uses it as a negotiating tool to get raises. So he'll basically take the offer letter that shows the salary that the new job is offering, and he takes it and leverages that document and says, hey, this company is willing to pay me X amount. Can you meet or exceed this? And I had never thought about that before. But you can learn from anybody. This guy was younger than me. I want to say he's in his late 20s. No, he's early 30s. But you can learn from anyone. And ever since he told me about that, I've been implementing that, and it works wonders. And I was always negotiating my salary anyway, but now I even have more leverage because I do accept the interviews. You know, and if I have to take PTO or if I can schedule the interview around my lunch breaks or whatever. But yeah, I operate while I'm on the job as though I'm unemployed. You know, you just have to do that. You have to make sure that you take care of you first, just like these companies take care of them first. So I'm not going to beat a dead horse on that. You guys already know what to do. And you've heard my opinion on the matter. So I think this is a good point to close out the show. I had a great time, you know, even though this is not scripted and I just kind of spitball things, but I hope you took away something from it. I hope you enjoyed tonight's broadcast. I hope you learned something new or laughed a little bit or took away something positive. Like I always say, it's my intention to leave you more informed than when you came. So I want you to tune in for our next episode. It's going to air Wednesday, October 23rd at 8 p.m. Eastern. Of course, exclusively on the Artist First Radio Network. I'm not sure what the topic is going to be for that show, but I'll come up with something. How about that? All right. I hope you guys had fun. This was great. Thanks again for tuning in, and have a good night, everybody.